Together, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 through 5. Matthew chapter 7, let's read together 1 through 5. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight and thank you for the singing of the hymns of the faith. We're thankful, Lord, for the blessing that it is, Lord, to be able to lift our voices and give praise unto our God. For you are worthy of all our praise, Lord. And Father, I ask as we would look into your word together tonight that you would, Lord, have something for each one of us, Lord, that would be as it were, from heaven tonight, and your will would be accomplished. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 7, verse 1 through 5. One of the things that I've observed over the years that independent Baptists are often labelled judgmental. And many times that's from disgruntled previous members, and I guess most churches could say they have people in that category. People who've had an issue over something in the church, or God's dealt with them, and they've left the church, and then they don't have a whole lot of good to say. But one of the criticisms is that independent Baptist churches are very judgmental, very critical of people. And so I wanted to just to think about that sort of an idea in the context of Matthew chapter 7 tonight, but just to first of all remind us who we are as independent Baptists. We visited someone during the week and they were basically asking, who are you? You know, what are you? And I said, well, we're an independent Baptist church. That means that we are not, maybe I should just stop there and say, what if I ask someone else to come up and you could tell us what an independent Baptist church, what are we? Who are we as a church? I won't do that, but on our sign we have the Open Door Baptist Church and then in brackets, independent. That means we are not part of a denomination. We are not part of some, we're not affiliated with any other body of churches, although we do have the National Baptist Fellowship Meetings, which is a fellowship meetings once a year, which is run by one particular local church in one of the capital cities across the country, and those of like mind meet there once a year. And so there is that sort of affiliation, but outside that we are independent, we are autonomous, we are self-governing and all those kind of things that we're supposed to be. We're also fundamentalists. That means literalists. I say that in that way now because you hear of fundamentalism is becoming rather a dirty word. I know in America where that's happening and many churches are moving away from saying they're fundamentalists because of the association that comes with that. They look at, there are some who have aligned, these are men who are supposedly saved and pastors in different churches who would say, no, the fundamentalists, I think it was, I won't use names in case I get the wrong name, but not that I'm frightened of using the name, but they said that one of the blights upon Christianity is fundamental Christianity. Those who are literalists, those who take the Bible literally as cover to cover, the Word of God, plus or minus nothing, the literal creation, the literal 6 days and all those kind of things. But we are fundamentalists or literalists in that sense. We are also separatists. And separatist means that we are to be separated from the world. We are separated. We're not, as I've already said, part of a denomination. We are not ecumenical. The ecumenical movement has been gathering momentum over the years, and there is the constant push to have all the churches united under one banner with the Catholic Church, and I'm constantly reading articles that are encouraging people to do that, and you'll have here's a prayer forum, and there'd be 50,000 people there, or however many thousand, and they're from every flavour and every colour across the spectrum. Well, we're not part of that. We're not ecumenical, we're not charismatic, we're not neo-evangelical. There's a few things we're not. But that's part of being a separatist. We separate ourselves from those things because we are independent. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. We cooperate with other churches where we can and where we need to. It's like with this flood relief that we will be forwarding some money up to Brother Bax and the church at Lighthouse Baptist Church. The offering this morning was a little over $1,300, and we'll be sending that up to go and be a blessing to the folk there, to use that as a means to outreach into their community and be a help and a blessing. So we have that sort of affiliation, we have that sort of cooperation, but we're not neo-evangelical. Neo-evangelical, the idea is we are evangelical, but we've decided that we don't want anything negative in our message, so now we go just for the positive, and we don't have anything negative in our message. We downplay all those kind of things. And a lot of those men, they preach a good message, but it's not what they say that the problem is, what they don't say where the problems come in. They're always on the positive. You get, and I won't go down that track too far, but and so we are independent, we are fundamental, we are separatists, and we are Baptists. And people say, why do you call yourselves Baptists? Well, because we have what are known as Baptist distinctives. Baptist distinctives, for example, that salvation is by grace through faith alone. Salvation is not of works. The majority of the churches have either a works salvation or a grace plus works salvation. No, we as Baptists say no, it is by grace alone, through faith alone, that someone is saved. Through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, that his shed blood was for our sins, and that his blood will cleanse us from all sin if we put our faith and trust in him. And so one of the Baptist distinctives. Now there are other churches who believe that, preach that, teach that. There's no question about that. But that's part of a Baptist distinctive. We believe in one God. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in the deity of Christ. We believe that people, if they're going to have a ministry, a public ministry, they need to be not only saved, but they need to be baptized and become a member of the church before they can have a ministry. A lot of churches, they don't worry about that. They'll have all sorts of people in all sorts of positions, mainly because of their natural talents and abilities. You know, they need a treasurer, and so then we get someone to do that. And we heard about this man who was an accountant, and they wanted him to be treasurer of the church, but he didn't speak in tongues. So they taught him how to speak in tongues so that he could become the treasurer. I mean, that's very scriptural, that is. And I don't know whether they worried whether he was saved or baptized. They just wanted to make sure he was speaking in tongues so that he could be the treasurer. That was one of the things. So there's all sorts of things that we say, no, they ought to be saved and they ought to be baptized after they're saved, not before. If they're baptized before, they're not scripturally baptized. They need to be baptized as believers. And you find that right through the book of Acts, that people got saved and then were baptized. And then they were added to the church. And we believe as an independent Baptist church in pastor leadership. We don't believe in eldership leadership. We don't believe in congregational leadership. We believe in pastoral leadership, not dictatorship, but leadership. We believe as a church that we have the Great Commission to try and fulfill, which means to preach the gospel to every creature, and that's part of our commission from God. We believe in having the Lord's Supper, and as often as we do that in remembrance of the Lord. And so there's some of the things that are Baptist distinctives, and that there are no doubt other things, and we maybe need to look at those sometimes, perhaps do some messages on that. But tonight, just to touch on that, because I think it's good to do that. But independent Baptists, they have got a little bit of a reputation for being judgmental. Part of that can be because they're a little too heavy-handed with the truth. They're so intent on the truth that they go a little light on the grace. Now, the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, was full of grace and truth. He never pulled back on the truth. He never held back on the truth. He always spoke the truth, but it was always with grace. Right, so there was that proper balance. Sometimes we can get a little bit out of balance there, one way or the other. Verse 1 in chapter 7, judge not that you be not judged. As we hear people say, so who are you to judge? Who are you to judge? Well, firstly, let's not confuse judgment with a judgmental spirit. There is a difference between the two. Some people have a judgmental spirit. Everybody and everything they see, they're critical of. Just somehow that's just the nature of the beast. And they have a judgmental spirit. That's wrong. We understand that. But don't confuse judgment with the judgmental spirit. We are to judge. There's no question about that, as we'll see as we look down these other verses. The important thing is that we judge properly. Verse 2 says, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. The Lord Jesus says, you be careful how you judge, because the way you judge other people, that judgment will come back upon you. So if you want to have a judgmental spirit, then expect people to have a judgmental spirit toward you. They'll be critical of you. They'll be negative, as we would say, toward you. Be careful of that. And he goes on and says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? The Lord Jesus said, here's the problem. Oftentimes Christians are quick to judge other people, but they haven't yet judged themselves. He said, there's a problem. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is in thine own eye. The Lord says, how is it that you go to your brother and say, listen, I need to deal with something in your life. I need to help you get that mote out of your eye. And the idea of a mote is just a little splinter, and the other beam is a great log. And the Lord says, here's the problem. You've got a log in your eye. That person, in comparison, has only got a little mote there, which is just a little splinter, and you're intent on getting that splinter out, but you haven't yet got the beam or the log out of your own eye. So the Lord says, before you do any judging, make sure that you deal with your own heart first. If you need to talk to someone about something, make sure that you've dealt with your own heart first. So he goes on to say, thou hypocrite, thou hypocrite. You see, he says that's a hypocritical way of judging people because you haven't dealt with yourself first. You're quick to point the finger at other people. You quickly point out their faults, their problems. You make judgments about them. He said, but you're just a hypocrite because you haven't first gotten the beam out of your own eye. He said, do that first. And then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. In other words, if we put that whole passage together, the Lord is not saying, do not judge full stop. But what he is saying is, don't be a hypocrite when you make judgments. Make sure that you've got the beam out of your own eye. Make sure you've dealt with your own problems first of all. Make sure that you're right in your standing with God. And then you'll be in a position to clearly cast out the splinter out of thy brother's eye, but not before. Do that first. Clearly, we see we are to make judgments. Have a look in 1 John chapter 4, just to show us a couple of these passages to remind us that the Lord Jesus was not making a blanket, do not judge full stop. But he was saying, don't be a hypocrite when you judge. In 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says there, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. God says you need to try the spirits to see whether they are of God, to see whether or not they're false prophets. He says many have gone out into the world, and we need to be careful about that. Have a look in 2 John. He deals with that topic again, about the Lord Jesus coming in the flesh. Verse 7 of 2 John, for many deceivers are entered into the world. who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. See the very thing he said in 1 John chapter 4. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. God says you need to try the spirits. When they come knocking on your door, some of these people, you need to try the spirits. You say, how do you do that? You ask them, who do you think the Lord Jesus Christ is? Who is he? Well, we think he's a good man. And? Well, that's it. That's all. Okay. Well, we know that you are not of God. Who do you think the Lord Jesus is? Well, I think he's a prophet. Anything more? No. Well, you're not of God either. You say, well, that's a bit judgmental. They say they believe in him. No, the test is, do they say he is God manifest in the flesh? Is he the Son of God who came to earth to take upon himself the form of a man that he might die on a cross for our sins? Is that who he is? Anything short of that is a deceiver and an antichrist. And you're going to have some cults, would they be Jehovah's Witness or others, who will come knocking at your door, and they are of the spirit of antichrist. You say they're nice people. Doesn't matter whether they're nice people, they have the spirit of antichrist because they deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. They are not of God. It doesn't matter how nice they are, it doesn't matter how friendly they are not of God. And God says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. If those Jehovah's Witnesses come knocking on your door, then you speak to them and you give them the gospel as God would allow you to do that. But don't say to them when they go, oh, well, Lord bless you, I hope you... Lord says, don't do that. They are of the spirit of Antichrist. They do not maybe realize that. They've been drawn into error through someone knocking on their door and being friendly to them. They wave the Bible to them, do all that sort of thing. But they are of the spirit of Antichrist. That's not my opinion. That's what the Bible says, because they deny that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. We are to make those sort of judgments. You have a look in Romans chapter 16. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17. The point we're making is that the Lord Jesus did not say, judge not, full stop. We are to make judgments. In Romans 16 verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them, for they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. All right, the Lord says here, you need to mark those which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrines which you've learned, and avoid them. You say, well, that's being very judgmental. No, it's being very biblical. It's biblical to do that. You know, the idea is not, well, let's all get together, we all believe in the one God. No, that's not biblical. We are to be discerning. We are to be, if you want to use the word in this context, judgmental about those issues. These are critical things. It doesn't matter what you believe about the Lord Jesus. It does matter what you believe. Eternity hinges on that. There are some doctrines that it does matter what you believe about them. And so if we're going to be independent, fundamental, separatist Baptists, then there's going to be some things that we will disagree with other believers about, or people who are professed believers, and say, what you've got there is not biblical. And so we are to make some judgments. Have a look in John chapter 7. Notice what the Lord Jesus said there in John chapter 7. John chapter 7 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus says there, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. I didn't say judge not, did he? He said judge not according to the appearance. So what's going on? We'll read back a little bit from verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers, and ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I've made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? He said, I've healed someone on the Sabbath day, and yet you're angry with me. He says, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgments. He said, listen, you need to judge according to the word of God, righteous judgments. You Pharisees, you need to get the beam out of your eye. You're making judgments that are not righteous. What I did was right to heal that man on the Sabbath day. That was right. And so our judgments are to be righteous judgments, not our opinion. Oh, well, I think this, I think that. It doesn't matter what we think, but it does matter what God says in his word. So I wanted just to remember that. Be careful. Those things which are clearly taught in God's word, we're able to be dogmatic about. Those things that are clear. Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. That is clear. If someone steals in any way, shape or form, and we tell them that, that is not being judgmental in a wrong way. It is being judgmental in a righteous way. Now, having said that, let's get the beam out of our own eye first. Make sure we're not guilty of stealing as well. All right, not just money, but stealing, taking that which does not belong to us. Are we guilty of that? Before I go to someone else and tell them, listen, the Bible says thou shalt not steal, and I know that you stole that and you need to deal with that. You need to get right with God and get right with man and get right with everyone who you've got to get right with. Before I do that, remember, am I guilty of stealing? Do I owe the boss anything? Do I owe the government anything? Do I owe anybody anything? Have I stolen something from someone else and not dealt with it? Deal with that first. Remember, that's what the Lord Jesus said, didn't he? So get the beam out your own eye. And then you're in a position. Because thou shalt not steal is very clear. It's an absolute. It's not an option. So if we're going to do what the Lord Jesus said, judge righteous judgments, then in those areas that are commandments and laws of God, we can make pronouncements about them. There are some things which are not clear commandments or laws, but they are clear principles in the scriptures. Some things are very clear in way of principle. In other words, it doesn't say thou shalt not, thou shalt not smoke, but I believe in principle it's clear that our body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. We're not to defile our bodies. We know that smoking, according to the world, is a health hazard. It'll do all sorts of damage to your bodies. If our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, then in principle, I believe we can say to a believer who is smoking, then you are sinning against God by the damage that you're doing to your body. And so that's a bit judgmental. We're trying to make some righteous judgments based on the principles of the Word of God. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And we could go on. A lot of scriptures there. So there's maybe not direct commandments about that. Thou shalt not gamble. But I believe it's clearly in the scriptures, contrary to the spirit and the principles of the scriptures of God. If we are gambling, we are not right with God in that area. You say, what about scratchies? Likewise. Any form of gambling, you're not right with God. You say, that's very dogmatic. Correct. We are to make righteous judgments. We are to make those sort of judgments. And it's not, it's just a little bad habit they got. I only spend $2 a week on scratch. I don't know what scratches cost. I wouldn't have a clue. But whatever they cost, you're not right with God on that. And that's the way it is. Now, that's a principle. It's not a thou shalt not gamble. We understand that in the scriptures. And so there are those things which are clear. We make righteous judgments about them, the commandments and laws and statutes, precepts of God. The principles, there are some very clear principles. We can make judgments about those. Where it can be a little bit, I'll say this word carefully, tricky, is when we get to principles of the Word of God and our interpretation of those principles. All right? We need to be a little careful in those areas. We need to be very gracious in those areas. There are some things which we have preferences based on principles of the scriptures. For example, how long should a lady's dress be? How long should it be? Well, I'll tell you how long it should be. It should touch the ground. Okay. That's your opinion. I think it, you know, in other words, what I'm trying to say is there are some things we need to be very gracious and careful about. Because I've said this before, God would have done us all a real favour if he'd given us some pictures in the scriptures and said, here's what it should look like. Or if he'd given us some measurements and said, here's what it is. Ladies, your dresses should not exceed 1 foot from the ground, or whatever the figure was. That we would have said, praise God, how easy that. That makes it just simple now. We just know what it is, but we don't have that, do we? And so we have to be gracious. We have to be careful about that. Sometimes independent Baptists have the propensity or the approach where if you don't believe exactly what I believe, you're not right with God. Well, there's a little room there. We could look at other things, like, for example, what about hair length on a man? How long is too long? Now, we know one thing the Bible does say. Doth not even nature itself teach it that for a man to have long hair, it's a shame. But how long's long? Okay. Well, I think it'd be short back and side. Well, that'd be short, no question about that. That would take away any possible wrong thoughts or anything else, wouldn't it? You know, oh, we'll all have short back and side. But I don't think the Bible says short back and side. So I think you should have a number. What's the shortest one? Number one? Is that short? I think every man should have a number one. Well, that would solve the argument about whether they got short hair or not. I understand that. But you say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that when we make our judgments, there are some areas we need to just be careful about what we believe is short as against what someone else believes is short. There are some things that are clearly short and there are some things that are clearly long. If a man's got hair down to his knees, let me tell you, it's a shame. All right? It's a shame, because that is long hair in any man's language. But how much do we have to trim off the bottom before it becomes short? Shoulder level, you know, ear, across the top, what is it? The Lord Jesus said, just don't be a hypocrite. Just make sure that you judge righteous judgments. Be careful in some of those things. And I think sometimes, unfortunately, as independent Baptists, we get labelled as judgmental because we do get a little nitpicky on some of those things. Now, I believe there's a place where every one of us ought to know what we think is short, amen? Before God, we ought to know, this is what I believe is short. But I need to be just careful if someone's a half an inch to either side. You know, just be a little careful about that. If it's this much, well, then, you know, we can agree. One of the other things we need to do, Proverbs 18 verse 13 tells us a very important truth. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 13. Sometimes we make judgments about people and we really don't know the whole story. We think we know, we think we've got a fair idea, we've heard from so-and-so who heard from so-and-so who heard from the bloke down the road who found out from the lady across the street whose cousin told her uncle, and on it goes. And we've really got a hold of the truth on this matter, but Proverbs 18:13 says this, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him." All right? Make sure we get the facts. Before we start being critical of other people, before we are judgmental or called judgmental, just make sure, have I got the facts about this matter? Do I know truly what the situation is? I've said it before and I will until the Lord comes, I think. God has given us two ears to hear both sides of a story. It's amazing. You talk to a man and he's got 1,000 reasons why his wife's the worst person in the world. And then some. You go and talk to her. Oh, you didn't know how wicked he was up until then. And just make sure we get the whole, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it is folly and shame unto him. Now, when someone comes to us and they talk about certain things, we can listen, and we need to have a listening ear, and we need to be concerned, and we need to show love, and we need to be caring, and we need to be gentle, and we need to be kind, we need to do all that. But be careful you don't take on board their little cross before you find out what the other side is. Because if you're not careful, you find yourself in the crossfire. Kaboom, kaboom. They'll be on to you. He that answereth the matter before, if he hear it, it is folly and shame unto him. So we need to be careful that we get the facts. So what did the Lord Jesus say in Matthew 7? Judge not that you be not judged. He said, don't be a hypocrite. Get the beam out of your own eye first. And then when you've done that, then you'll be able to clearly cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Notice what he says in verse 6, and we'll finish with these thoughts. Verse 6 says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Have a look in verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree it bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Remember what the Lord Jesus said, judge not that ye be not judged. But he didn't say, judge not, full stop. Because he warns them, beware of false prophets. Be a fruit inspector. You'll know them by their fruits. Be careful. He says, don't give that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample under their feet and turn again and rend you. We need to be careful. We need to be discerning. We need to show some judgment in situations when we're talking to people. But first of all, make sure we're not a hypocrite ourselves. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We're thankful, Lord, for the instruction in there for each and every one of us. And Lord, we can all do better in some of these areas. Lord, help us, give us the grace, give us more wisdom, give us more discernment, Lord. Help us not to be hypocrites when we make judgments. Lord, we know we are to make judgments, but Lord, help us not to be hypocrites. Help us to get the facts together. And Lord, in so doing, we might Lord, fulfill your plans and purposes for our lives. So, Father, again, we thank you for our time. In the Lord Jesus' name, amen.